Thought Press Network.
A big thanks to all our sponsors. Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento.
Comic Bento is a subscription service that brings a box of comics to your door every month. Check out our website, thetalkinggeekpod.com. Click the link, subscribe, and wait for your comics to hit the mailbox.
I had balls floating wet, green grass. I got a chainsaw motor that's filled with rain. But when it sings like Bach, the eyes all bulge. And when the pink sun drops, the eyelids fold while I'm in deep REM sleep. Or twilight zones, I take a freight elevator, run fast forward. I get to grind these teeth and peek through time. If I can bring things back and feed back wild and wet, I saw the future.
Hey, this is V the Fried Nugget.
Hey, this is Tim the Mumble.
Hey, guys, this is Q the Face.
Hey, this is Kenny the Bear with the underscore in front of it.
Hey, this is Pedro the Air Horn.
And this is The Talking Geek.
We are, and
we're not recording.
Wait, are we recording?
Yeah, no. We're definitely recording. Oh, Jesus Christ. We are now recording on Thursday?
On a Thursday.
Thursday, yes.
My days are so confused.
Yeah, it's been a rough week.
It's been a rough week. I think now what we've been without... For some of us, we've been without... Okay, for those of you who are listening and maybe don't know, we record in Miami. We are from Miami, Florida, and we just went through a hurricane.
Yeah, a rather large son of a bitch.
Yeah, an extremely long storm. And so it's been a week now since we've been in this hurricane...
Yeah, in hurricane mode.
Either from prepping, going through the hurricane, or now the aftermath. And so my days have kind of... melted together, and especially since my day job doesn't have any power, so I haven't been to work, and then my other job doesn't have any power, so I can't go over there, so it just feels like
your days are just
blur.
Like what's happening.
Yeah, I have. And then when we lost power, which we luckily are one of the few right now that have power, although FPL, which
yeah,
is
let's count ourselves being very lucky considering how bad even within our own city, how some places are still pitch black in the middle of the fucking summer.
Yeah,
which,
and it's hot here. So I know that there are people who may or may not be listening now that don't have power yet. By the time this episode goes up, I don't know, because we're hoping to get it up ASAP.
Yep.
And they don't even guarantee that everybody's going to have power until the Sunday of this week.
But still, pretty impressive, all things considered, how
I
many
know.
People
yeah.
are
you know,
out of power.
But some people were pissing me off on Facebook because they were bitching and complaining, and I get it. It's hot. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But the entire state... of Florida was hit with a storm. Not just one area.
Not just Miami.
Not just
South Florida.
Yeah, normally hurricanes will go only on like one section or they'll coast,
they'll
you know.
Cut, well, they'll cut through, but this motherfucker was huge. This hurricane was the size of Florida.
Yeah, and it
I think it was the size of Texas at one point.
Yeah,
it was like 410 miles.
Yeah, it was insane. And so it was in a long storm. So, because we were dealing with the winds and the rain and everything for 24 hours. It felt from all the outer bands to the inner bands.
And we were still getting some stuff like an extra, like, so it was, I would say it was like closer to 36 hours in total,
yeah.
Because it definitely felt like 12 hours before we were in it.
Yeah.
Like, we were already like, oh shit, the wind's picking up.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. The sky don't look that good.
So it was insane. So yeah, we're recording on Thursday, and for those of you, I feel really bad for what happened in the islands. I also feel like all of the attention is very local, and what happened in... St. Martin,
pretty much the islands, the Caribbean islands.
Ooh, the Leeward Islands got double fucked by Irma and then Jose, which thankfully Jose is going to fuck off in the Atlantic. But
yeah, doing some crazy shit. So that stuff is even crazier. Like the civil wars that are happening over there and how everybody's kind of forgotten
about
them.
It's just getting raw over there.
Things are going crazy. What happened in Cuba was really crazy. The Keys, we still can't even get to half part of the Keys. I've heard rumors. I don't know if it's true, but the 7 Mile Bridge has a crack in it, so they can't put too much weight on it. I'm not.
Oh,
that would suck.
Yeah, that's a rumor. I don't know if that's true, but right now you can only get up to mile marker 74. So
hopefully
are
they
so
got
crazy.
If that's happened. Hopefully they got some construction out there to try to fix that.
Because they have to do that before anybody can go in. So
I mean, you would figure if any fucking state had, if you're like, oh, we're building a bridge in between these tiny islands, let's. I don't know, make it so that it can take a fucking hurricane hitting it.
But
I, again, that's a rumor, so I don't know if it's true or
right,
it's not.
Right, but yeah, I'm just saying in general.
I would
hope so.
I would imagine, considering that Florida is one that has active hurricanes seasons every year.
Yeah,
that they would have that. I know that everybody in general is better off this time around than people were. Let's say I'm gonna date myself to 1992 and Andrew.
Well, we don't even have to go as far back as Andrew. Let's go to Wilma in 2005. Like, yeah. Well, Wilma fucked us up real bad.
With Katrina?
And Katrina didn't fuck us up as bad.
Not as bad.
Wilma was the one that, like that one I had my power out for 6 weeks.
Yeah, and you see, that's another thing. Like, I remember even with, I wasn't down in Miami for Wilma. I actually lived in Orlando and nothing happened.
Oh, you lucked
out
for that. Yeah, yeah. Like, it was not good.
I mean, we got outer bands of the storm, and that was really pretty much it. That was the year that three of them hit. But I think I came down to pick people up to go back up to Orlando because, like, nothing had happened to us.
I like you went down. You're like, nope, going back.
And forget it! I think one of them, we lost power for, like, a day, maybe, or a few hours. The story of Laz and I with the bat and the people in the car because we got the puddle in a car. That was the year of Charlie, Wilma, Katrina.
Fun times.
Yeah.
Assholes never to invite to a party.
But I remember being without power for Andrew for like 2.5 weeks and being a kid and all of that. So I understand that it's uncomfortable, but these people are doing the best they can in a widespread. So like that's what I was saying. Like people on Facebook were pissing me off because they were like bitching and complaining and like hashtagging like, you know, fuck you FPL. And I was just like, they're doing like they're outnumbered by three times. There are three times more people without power than FPL employees.
Yeah. Now, out of general principle, yes, fuck FPL. FPL, they're a piece of shit fucking company. We're going to put that right there out there because there's no way to say
it. How long has it been? It's been since I've worked there. Yeah, it's long enough.
Fuck FPL. But the thing is like I know linemen. I know a bunch of linemen that they're busting their ass right now, and you know, and they've done a marvelous job of being able to get that. I tip my hat to them for that because that's rough. And if they manage to get most of the power back by Sunday, yo, that's a lot of work.
70% of Florida.
It's the whole fucking state.
Of the whole state was without power. That's insane. That's just like, and it was literally tree genocide. Like, there's trees everywhere still. It's
my old neighborhood. One of the things I loved about my old neighborhood were the trees there. And most of the entire trees are down. Some of the older ones are still up, and it's just branches all over the place.
But actually, it's been a while since I've seen that amount of debris from trees falling.
It's been since Wilma.
And in fact, it is crazy how big this storm was that you can see the trails from where tornadoes were going through. Like you can literally see the trail because of what trees were down and what trees are still up, and you can see.
You're just like, oh, something, a big motherfucker went right by here.
That was crazy. It was crazy to witness that.
It's absolutely nuts. So now I will say this because we got to get into the trolling of this shit. I know that what happened in Houston really affected how we took on this storm, right? Because I think we all saw how crazy storm surges could get, and we freaked the hell out, right? So a storm that didn't hit us until Sunday, we already didn't have work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, come Saturday. Like, we were prepared last week, like 5 days before the storm even hit.
Well, I had work up through Thursday.
I did not.
I only had Friday.
I had it up until Wednesday. Wednesday was the last day, and then that's it. On Thursday, on Friday, I was already preparing and doing everything like that. And I know why we did it, because for all the trajectories were like, I is hitting straight to Miami.
Well, first it was like, oh, it's going to skim on the East Coast. And then, like, a good chunk of that time was like, no, it's going to literally split. It's literally going to sound fucking Florida.
Yeah.
Like, it's going right through the tip and all the way through.
And the eye was going to go all the way through.
Yeah.
But I was so bored for, like, 4 days waiting for this storm.
Yeah, we were.
Because now we have no work. We've already put up our shutters. Everything is super dark. We can barely do anything because most people have escaped. Because everybody left.
A lot of people fucking left.
Well, this is the biggest evacuation Florida's ever done for a storm. This is the biggest evacuation.
And to be fair.
Florida as a whole, yes.
Before a lot of other people start bitching them, like, because there are people like, oh, we left for no reason. Like, no, you don't understand how bad, like, we got the outer bands of this storm, and it still fucked up the city. So imagine if we had actually been hit with the fucking meat of it.
I agree with every single call. Believe it or not, I agree with every call that our state made when it came to early evacuations with people leaving, because if that eye would have gone in the direction that up until Friday night, Saturday morning, it had shifted.
You think Brickell would have even been still in any workable piece?
No, definitely not.
Downtown Miami would have been more underwater than it is right now.
Yeah,
like it would have been horrendous. So I actually agree with all of that. Does it suck? Yes, that you ended up going all the way to Georgia or North Carolina or wherever and to come and realize that the storm didn't hit. I get it. It's uncomfortable. But even you guys got hit up there. Like, that's how big this storm was.
And I think that's the satisfaction. And I don't mean that from, like, a shitty perspective. I mean that seriously, because it's like, you can bitch and moan about it, say, but you see, if you went further up in Florida, it still hits you.
Yeah.
So it's like, no. Even if you try to escape, it still hits you. That's how serious it was.
Even if you go out of the state and you stay with...
You're in Georgia. I had friends in Georgia who were, like, messaging me, like, hey, you sent us a gift. please take it back.
Yeah. But I mean, it was for those of us who had decided to stay and we were like, okay, we're gonna ride this out. We're gonna hunker down. It was the longest 4 days of my life waiting for this storm. I mean,
if I lived with you, it just would have been us playing D&D like half the time.
No, we were trying to convince
an entire campaign.
Yeah.
We were trying to convince the other women
that
to play, but they were not all about it.
They were not about it.
Like when the lights went out. We really wanted to play.
we were like, it's the right way. Candles are out. It's time for magical things to happen.
Yeah. But look, we even visited you.
Yes. Had a surprise visit right before the storm.
Yeah, because we were just going crazy. And they had announced that the curfew was going to be at 8 o'clock. And when it was 6 o'clock, and I was like, it's time to leave the house before we can't leave
the
house.
We need to stretch our legs.
For the next 36 hours. Oh, so we were just like, drive everywhere. So I was like, I'm going to pay.
So you drove. So like, what were some of the other things that you did during the hurricane to try to keep yourself entertained from just the boredom of waiting for this?
I'm gonna
son
say
of
this. I probably did the things I shouldn't have done both during the storm, because I did drive around pretty fast after the storm was done. I know that for a few times I got in the car, because once we had lost power, we lost power come Sunday morning. And then even though we didn't have power, I still had cell service for like another hour or two. But then after that, we were going blind into the storm. So if anything had happened or tornado warnings or anything like that, we weren't getting them anymore.
Because we didn't have a radio.
Yeah. So there was a few times.
Guys, what the fuck? You're not Miami noobs. You
no,
should have a fucking
we're
radio
not. We should have had a radio. I did have a radio. I thought it took batteries. It did not. And that was
the
only thing.
We need
thing.
The hand crank. That's that hand crank radio.
Yeah, so we didn't do that. So I knew that the worst part of the storm was going to happen at 2 o'clock. That's what they had said when the last time I had checked it on my phone. So there was a few times that I went outside, smoked a cigarette, because our house was in this perfect little pocket where the wind gusts, you can see them. You can see them in the street in right in front of our house. But in front of our door, there was not as much wind as was step. Like you take 3 steps out, and then boom, you get hit with
away
the wind.
You go.
But like you get hit with the wind. But that little pocket was perfect. And so, and this storm didn't bring a lot of rain, so I was able to stand outside and smoke a cigarette, and then I would run into the car and turn on the radio so that I can hear. Okay, what was going on? And at one point, I got in the car, and it was a tornado warning. I was like, go back inside.
Gotta go.
Oh my god.
Get in the tub.
You know what it felt like? It felt like I was an actor in the movie 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Oh, I need to watch that movie, man.
Right, where you're literally in a bunker because we have hurricane shutters that are aluminum shutters. So you look to your left where you would think you would see outside, and you're literally looking at metal. So it felt like we were caged in.
Yeah.
And for somebody that is not, you know, it doesn't bother me to be inside a house, but to know that I can't leave, it's just one of those things.
The ability not being stuck in the house, but not being able to leave is the delineating factor there.
For me, it's both. I don't like being stuck in the house. I'm somebody that has way too much energy and I get bored way too fast. And then on top of that, I now feel like I can't leave anyways. So I was outside as many times as possible. And then I took a nap at some point. I napped through the worst part of the storm, and then I woke up, and then it was gone. I was like, okay, good. I get to wake up and go outside and have a cigarette. Like,
yeah, that works.
Get back in the car and listen to the radio. I know at one point when we had no power, we were extremely bored, and we decided to turn on sparklers and go outside and play with sparklers in the dark.
Now, if anybody knows
I
my
love
girlfriend
you guys so much, God, you guys are the fucking best idiots of my life.
If anybody knows my girlfriend Tiffany,
yeah,
we call her Groot. All right, and it all starts with a sparkler.
Yes,
a sparkler and a finger having a very faithful meeting.
Yeah,
yeah.
So when we had these sparklers, we just couldn't, like, it was ridiculous because we were the only, we tried to do Morse code with other people with flashlights.
Well, I mean, we don't know Morse code, so we would just flash from across the street and then they would flash back.
I think they're telling us to suck our dick. What? Why are they so mean?
I only know SOS in Morse code. Yeah.
You actually spelled it Seuss.
Seuss.
And we didn't need
S-O-O-O-S.
So we did that. I immediately got in the car come Monday. I immediately got in the car. I wanted to go straight to go check the studio and then drove around and saw the mayhem that was, how much power had gone out.
Yeah.
And just
and
how many
Monday
trees.
Was rough. Yeah, Monday was a rough day, man.
Monday was a really rough day. When I drove around, it was crazy. And then it was just kind of like doing all of that. But when we had no power, I'm a reader. So I was reading my book club book, which I finished. If I got anything, if there's any positives, is like normally I'm so busy that it takes me like 8 weeks to read whatever book my book club is reading. And I read it in 2 days and I was extremely happy because now I've got like 3 weeks to chill.
Yeah, now you're ahead.
Now I'm super ahead. And so it was good for that. But after a while, that starts to be really boring and then you get tired and all of that. So, and then nobody in this house enjoys the same kind of free time. That's what happened, right?
Like, everybody likes doing different things.
Right. So what ends up happening is, so you have me and Tiff that can read, but Kenny and Vanessa get bored as fuck. So then they start talking, right? Or you have Kenny who I don't know how she didn't throw a candle at you, right? Because Tiff is trying to read the first Game of Thrones book, right? And she's in that mode. Like, and I get into that mode sometimes too, where I'm reading a book and I've gotten so deep into it that anything you ask me is annoying.
Yep.
Like, it's just because I'm obviously
focused
and my brain is, I'm in that world. And now you're trying to take me out of that world and I'm already immersed. And I can see that Tiff is in that mode. So I'm not even talking. And Kenny's like, and what part are you on? Oh, and how do you feel about John so far? Do you think he's cool? Oh. What part is that? And I'm like, oh my God, she's going to just fucking slap you in the face.
Gonna
with that.
Light you on fire inside this house.
I kind of wanted that to happen because I was like,
it's just going to be a song of fire as she lights you up.
However, we, you know, I did read as well because, you know, as everybody knows, I read.
On occasion.
And I was reading actually one of Chuck Palahniuk's books, the short stories that he had that he came out with last year.
Nonfiction? Or
it's nonfiction story. Well,
there's one stranger. There's Stranger Than Fiction.
No,
there's
he's not. He didn't read Stranger Than Fiction. He read his short stories. He has a collection of short stories.
Cool.
He's the one that he signed when we went to the book reading.
Right, and he had that. He, you know, it was last year. So I decided to read some of the some of the stories that he did not read to us, and some of those, like that. I love Chuck Palahniuk because of how far off he'll take you. And but all the while,
you go places.
Yeah, all the while he's carving. He's carving an actual, you know, carving an actual, like, setting. He's putting a setting
in there.
Creating
a path for you.
Yeah, creating a path where he wants you to go to, just you're not realizing it until you get to the end.
Yeah.
But then we played Chinese checkers. I even played Oregon Trail, the card game.
Yeah, we did play Chinese checkers. So what I was saying is, like, none of us like the same thing, right? So I want to read. Tiff wants to read. But Vanessa's really bored, and she doesn't want to read. And Kenny's reading, but he's kind of bored, too, so he wants to do something else. Okay, fine. Let's play a game. All right, me and Kenny want to play, like, the Hogwarts game. I kind of want to play the Sherlock game. These girls don't want to play any of those fucking games. Vanessa just wants to play Chinese checkers. So we play.
We play Chinese checkers.
I want to get drink and have a good time.
Yo, I killed most of a bottle of Jack.
I at first did not want to get too crazy because I didn't know what was coming. Like this.
I'm sorry,
surge.
Not Jack. It was rum.
I didn't want to get too drunk at the beginning because I was like, I need to be alert if some crazy shit goes down. And there was a lot of fucking tornadoes coming with the storm. And the last thing I wanted was to be super fucking drunk. Or
all right, we gotta run for this tornado.
Yeah, like to.
I need to fucking go.
What did you say, woman? You're not on this podcast for you to be fucking bitching and moaning from the couch over there. What did you say? Say it to my good.
This hurricane's coming, or this tornado's coming. Oh, the room's spinning already. I can fight it.
My wife is over there saying that should be the first thing I should want to do is get drunk during a tornado. No, I want to live. And therefore, and then you know what? My wife needs me to be sober so that I can drag her drunk ass into the shower.
One of you has to be fucking sober.
And save her. And when she sobers up and she's like, what happened? Yeah, a tornado, bitch, and I saved you.
That bottle, gone in the tornado.
Yes.
I'll tell you this. I was drinking every so often because I was like, oh, let me just grab one beer. All right, now I'm going to grab another beer. I'm listening to the rain. Let me do some illicit,
activities.
Illicit activities, then drink another beer. I was just like,
yeah. At some point, Lewis, my roommate Lewis and I, like, we were just like, yep, we're four beers in. And it's only 2 o'clock.
But that's like another reason I didn't want to drink. I was like, we're going to be done with the beers before it even hits. Like this, we were also blind. Like if I would have known more or less what was going on, I feel like I would have been more inclined to drink. But I didn't know what the fuck. I honestly didn't know if a tornado was going to be coming. And since we didn't have a radio to get the warning, guess what the warning was going to be? When it's already here. Yeah. Like, so, that's the warning.
So speaking of tornadoes, what I ended up doing for right before the tornado hit, while we still had power, I ended up finishing replaying a game, which you'll be seeing a quick little write-up I did.
Yes.
This week or next week?
It'll be up this week.
It'll be soon. You'll see it on the website.
By the
soon.
Time that this episode is out, the blog will be up as well.
Yeah, so the game is called Life is Strange. I think I've mentioned it a couple times before. I was replaying it because a prequel just came out, so I wanted to kind of refresh myself on it. A very emotional game. It's very much in the style of all the Telltale games, The Walking Dead, the Game of Thrones, how it works. Your decisions make a difference. This one uses time manipulations, and it's a sort of like main gimmick,
right?
Where like you can rewind in limited fashion in individual scenes to like either solve puzzles, or if you don't like what you said, you can take what you said back.
Okay.
If you say like you need to get information from somebody, so you go and you strike out at first, but you find out like one little piece of information you need. So you rewind to the beginning of the conversation. You drop that little nugget in the beginning of the conversation. It will change how it goes, so you get what you need to find out your information.
Got it.
It's like a very intricate Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
Well, yeah, imagine Prince of Persia with none of the running around. Like, this is all like story based.
Okay.
And what's interesting, and again, you'll read more about it in the story, is that you play an 18-year-old girl named Max Caulfield. Caulfield, as in the Catcher in the Rye.
Yes.
This series very much holds all of its influences very much up front. So, definitely a lot of time travel stuff, a lot of sci-fi stuff, a lot of, like, I guess you would call it malaise of youth.
Okay.
I think is kind of good. Yeah. What kind of leads to a lot of this. And I just reminded of the level of emotion involved, because it involves that you reconnect with an old friend because you watch the old friend die, and then you're able to save her with your time powers. But then shit starts getting really fucked up throughout the entire game because you keep fucking with time. There's a butterfly effect moment.
That's what I was going to say, butterfly effect.
There's specifically a butterfly effect moment where she finds out that she's able to go not just rewind time for like short bursts, she can actually go even further back in time.
Got it.
Oh, by the way, spoiler warning, if you wanted to play this. So she finds a picture when she goes back to when she was 13 years old with a friend on the day that her friend's father died, which completely changed her life. Made her into this really miserable.
Oh, this is totally butterfly effect.
You know it is, because she goes and she saves the father's life by throwing the keys away, and so he has to take a bus. So what happens is that the father lives, but then 2 years later, for your friend's 16th birthday, so that'll be 3 years later, she gets a car, and then she gets into a car accident and becomes a paraplegic.
Oh.
And so when you go back in time, your life is completely different, and her life is terrible because it's not just that she's a paraplegic, she's also dying. So you literally have to watch your friend dying, and then she asks you to kill her.
Oh.
And then, you know, to put her out of her misery. So, yeah, this game plays with your heart. And like,
damn it, Barry! Stop changing the timeline!
Yeah, I felt very Flash-like. So it's what's interesting about it is that, like, I don't know, I get this preconceived notion when people are like, oh, like, women in a fucking game, like, oh, it has to be, like, overly emotional, but, like, This is very touching. It's very earnest. Like it's not. It's a very uncynical game.
I feel like if you're gonna have a game that depends on choices, you're gonna have to have some sort of level of emotional attachment.
Yeah.
Or else, if it's just a matter of choices of war and action, it's not so important. It doesn't for me. It doesn't give a choice that much weight. Like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, I can either choose to attack from the east or the west, but that's different than even like a conversation that you're having with somebody.
Yeah.
Information that you're trying to get somebody. So I think that it's actually important to have an emotional attachment to a game that's going like an emotional value and way of playing and storyline. If you're going to be in a kind of game that you're having to make all of these choices and going back in time to change things, that has to have an emotional attachment.
Yeah. And specifically, the big beating heart in this game is the connection between the main character Max and her friend Chloe.
Right.
And that's from the first episode all the way to the fifth episode, and you're asked to make a really. What should be a really fucking hard choice at the end. I'm not going to spoil that for you because you kind of have to go through.
Let's not do that yet.
But I mentioned in the review, the choice that they ask you to make isn't really fair, because you could tell that there's, oh, this is the option they want me to take because of how the story needs to go versus what's supposed to be like a greedy choice.
Right.
But the quote unquote good option doesn't feel earned. It's just like, why would I pick this? Like, this Got makes it. No sense versus this other one. So the first time I played it, I picked the one that made the most sense,
right,
because this is how I fucking played the game. I don't see any other way. And I got a really
shitty ending.
I got a pretty short curse ending that left everything open, because it was sort of a like, okay, well, we survive this time, but who knows if this is going to happen again? And that's where it cut off.
Right.
So this time around, I chose the other one, which gets a much, much longer ending sequence and a much more depressing, heart-rending fucking ending. It also ended up kind of clarifying one interesting point in this game. One of the reasons why a lot of people like this game is that it has a possible LGBT relationship between these two girls. And it's not really a spoiler, because like, one of the great things about how the actresses did these roles is that you feel that these people have a connection, and also like this weird kind of sexual tension kind of going on.
Right.
That's not like creepy or oogling. Like, it just feels like, oh, these girls are kind of still questioning their fucking lives.
Of course. And I mean, when you think about it, think about how old they're playing in. I mean, you're playing an 18-year-old girl,
yeah,
which is right around the time when
she's on her own. She's on her own for the first time here,
So it's the college experience, that moment of understanding, and you're not really sure, and you don't even know, like, this is something you might try, but it feels weird, but because it's different, like, you know,
yeah,
I can totally understand that whole entire thing.
Yeah,
I can understand that.
And that ending had a surprise confirmation of certain parts of it. So in my mind, I'm thinking like, oh, does this, because I always wonder about that, because a lot of times stories will just throw shit like that sometime, and it doesn't really work. And I was thinking, like, no, it actually, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, no, this actually works really well, and it was a good way to kind of round out that story, even though I felt like somebody stabbed me in the heart and just kind of shuck it around a little bit.
The game sounds interesting. It's definitely something I want to play. I actually didn't get to play any video games while we still had power, because I was so afraid of the flooding when we first thought that the storm was coming, and we had prepared so early that I had double bagged and ziplocked and binned every gaming device with the exception of my DS. That was the only thing that I left out. But our Wii, our Switch, my PS4, all of that, it's still bagged, because I'm still like, I don't know, it's still storm season.
Oh, not only that,
I'm
also
peeking around the corner here.
It's all the way
it's up
there.
There.
Yeah, and it's on a high shelf.
Also, you're recording. If it wasn't for the fact that we're recording today,
oh yeah,
your recording equipment would also still be bagged.
That was also bagged and saran wrapped over and over and over and over again, because I was like, this is stuff I can never.
Look, you're hiding a fucking key.
Listen, the way that I see it is this: we are artists. Yes, we own a business and all that, but we own an artistic business. I am not rich. The things that we have,
this is expensive.
It has been over time that I've or big birthdays, you know, where everybody has come together to get me a PS4, mm-hmm, where it took, you know, like 15 people to get me a PS4. So all of it is like, I can never replace you all
it's
at
like,
once.
I'm not going to do this.
So I didn't actually get to play any video games. Instead, we binge watch TV. We were watching Sci-Fi Face Off, the most recent episode.
Face Off.
I like Face Off. Although we didn't get to finish it because.
And I'm so disappointed. It is not the Nicolas Cage Face Off. Every time you mention this.
No, but I do love that movie, and I've seen it 100 times.
Good.
It is so good. And then we saw the movie The Accountant.
Well, actually, it was decent. It was a decent movie. I honestly thought it was going to be a crapshoot.
I had been wanting to see it, and I had had it on my watch list on my Fire Stick because it was for free on HBO. And at first, I thought it was going to be a little bit more action than it was, and then I was actually pleasantly surprised that it wasn't as much action as I thought that it was going to be. Ben Affleck plays an accountant, because it's called The Accountant, but he's autistic. He plays an autistic accountant who is also in a lot of other stuff. I'm not going to ruin the movie for anybody, but it is slow-paced enough that you follow the story, you care about this character. Yeah, there's a few action sequences, but it's not about that. It's about like kind of how he got into this whole mess, and it shows like his dad, who was really strong on him. You know, he used to be sensitive to light and sensitive to sound, and his dad was unfortunately somebody who didn't believe in what we would normally do with kids now that have autism. Instead, what he did, he played rock music really loud and would put a strobe light so that he would get used to it, Like, he thought that he needed to build a tolerance to his... And in a weird way, it functions for him in this really fucked up way. So it had enough of those elements that I thoroughly enjoyed. I liked the movie. But before that, Vanessa and I had failed at life. So we were in the room. We were like, all right, we got to start watching shit because we have nothing else to do. We both chose a movie to watch. She picked a movie, The Devil's Passing, which we had already seen. So now she picked a movie that we had already seen and that she didn't realize we had already seen until the last scene.
And in fact, it was funny because she expressed it to me what they were watching. I go, we've seen that movie.
and it is, okay, so it's a horror flick. I'm not even into horror flicks, but we chose the movie because the other podcast that I'm on, Morbid Curiosity, I'm going to be doing a Patreon exclusive episode on the Dyatlov passing incident that happened in Russia, which, for those of you who don't know, long story short, a bunch of climbers went, like touristy foreigners went climbing up this mountain, and all of them were found dead without any shoes on, and it's like this really big mystery.
That sounds interesting.
Yeah, so I'm going to have a whole episode about that incident. So this particular horror flick is like the Blair Witch Project of the Dyatlov passing.
That
right?
sounds cool. Okay.
So that sounds super cool. Saw the trailer. I was like, and then even Vanessa was like, oh, aren't you doing a morbid episode of that? We should see it. And I was like, yes, you're right. We should see it. Right. I have forgotten at this point because I'm so like enthralled in the fact that it's on this topic about what I'm about to do. That we put it on and it starts off fine. They tell you the history of the actual story of what happened, how they're going to go over there, try to see if they can find what it is. They start giving you little clues of like weird shit. Like, oh, maybe it's a Yeti. Maybe it's aliens, right? So you're already like, oh, this could go very weird, very fast. I already start to pick up that we've already seen this movie, right? I keep looking over. I keep doing the like looking at the screen and looking at my wife so that I can see if I can notice on her face that she's starting to have some sort of deja vu. And there's not. It is like bright-eyed, like this is brand new to me. And I was like, okay, maybe I...
Can you have you ever had a feeling where you watch something and you go, I've seen this before,
oh, yeah.
but I know I haven't.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm thinking, I'm having that moment. I'm like, okay, I guess we'll just keep watching it. So anyways, it becomes this... It's the movie's okay for what it is. It's the move, the shaky camera, the everybody running around.
The found footage type of film.
You know, it's found footage. You don't know what it is that's going on. They're going down the same steps that these other people did. So you kind of already know what their doom is going to be. I mean, it's a horror flick that's based on it. And then it turns so far right.
So far right.
It just goes, it just does this crazy thing. And if you don't want me to spoil it, well, I'm going to do it anyways.
Do it. I
want
to hear. I want to hear it.
Spoilers!
So they finally get to the spot, right? After this crazy shit. Like, one person's already died because, like, a random avalanche was, like, triggered. They're all in the middle of nowhere. They have no cell service, of course, in this one area. They have no cell service. These two people who were the ones that started the documentary, they'd go off and they find in the snow, in the dark, they all of a sudden find that there's a huge mound that looks like it's covering something. And sure enough, it is. It is covering a random like steel bunker with a door on it. And so they try to open up the door. Mind you, the door locks from the outside.
Oh, like a good bunker does, yeah.
You know, like all doors that lock from the outside, you totally want to open them that have been covered up.
Yeah, no,
there
can't be anything inside.
I know this is going to be very faux pas. What color were these actors in this film?
They're in Russia. They're all white.
They're all white. So these are white people.
White people be like, oh, that'll be fine. It's okay.
But so they, of course, then the door's like frozen. Like, oh, one of the guys was like, oh, it's already been opened. It's just like sealed with ice, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, we'll come back to it tomorrow. And they go back to the camp, right? And they go back to the camp. And then all of a sudden, like right as soon as like you're about to get the first sex scene, like always happens in horror flicks.
He's going to put it in.
And then he doesn't get to, because then all of a sudden there's like an explosion and an avalanche comes and boom, bitch gets killed, right? So the
wait. When they're fucking, is the camera still going?
He never gets to fuck her.
He never gets to fuck her.
Oh, because I was about to say, it would have been amazing. It's just like, I know we're focused on this documentary, but this is going to turn into a porno for like 20 minutes.
So then the avalanche comes, whatever. So all this is going crazy, and they are starting to everybody's starting to freak out, and they see two people coming out of the corner, right? And they're like, oh my God, they're coming to help us. Yes, come to help us. And they realize, wait, they're not coming to help us. They're coming to kill us. So now there's like a conspiracy theory that there are these people that want to go and kill them. So now they're running. And where do they run to? The bunker they found the night before, right? Oh. So they all of a sudden, the bitch comes with a cup of water running away with people so that she can melt the ice. Which, by the way, if she's in the mountains.
How the fuck did she get the cup of water?
I guess is what I'm saying. I don't know. They were
guys,
in a campsite.
Guys. So it's movies.
It's, you know, so they get inside, and of course, they're like, which is always funny. They're like running down the hallway, and finally the guy has like a moment of like, I don't know, brilliance or like common sense. And he was like, they're not going to come and get us. The door locks from the outside. They're just going to lock us in here. It's like, duh. Yeah, that's exactly what just happened. You idiots, right? So then all of a sudden they're like walking through this like bunker, and they see that it's like it used to be like used for like who knows what. Like it's got like it's been used for like scientific shit at some point,
right?
And all of a sudden there's creatures that come after them, right?
Like oh, of course,
right? And it okay. Do you remember the movie The Descent?
Oh, of course, I love that fucking movie.
Similar esque in the sense that they're like skinny, lanky creatures, right? So they
pasty,
run into a room,
pasty
right?
White like.
And then all of a sudden, when they go into this room, they find all of these documents, all of these really important military top secret documents that when this bunker was closed, the military didn't take with them. Instead, they left them sprawled out.
Because that's how the military does.
Oh, yeah. No, very inefficient.
And it's talking about how they had come up with a way to time travel.
Wait for it.
Keep going.
Right? And they had done that. And what they were trying to do was get a ship that was supposed to like land in like Pittsburgh or something like that, get there, but also 10 minutes earlier than it was supposed to arrive or something like that to show that they were able to do it, whatever. When they tried this experiment, come to find out that the soldiers that were on this ship had their bodies fused with the ship when it landed on the other side.
Yeah.
Right? So some shit did not work. So they find this out. Creatures are coming out of nowhere. They run into another room with another outdoor locked bunker because they didn't learn from the first one. They get themselves back in that one. Now they can't get out. What's in there? A portal.
A fucking portal.
A portal.
Yeah.
A portal that it takes them like in their time, like a few hours to decide whether or not they're going to go through this portal.
So I was going to say like, oh, this sounds like a fucked up combination between The Descent, Blair Witch, and Portal. And then you're like, oh, there's a portal. I'm like, wah!
Then they figure out, oh, my God. And then they don't know what they're going to do because they might get killed or they might not get killed. What's going to happen? Do we go through this goddamn portal? And then they go, boom, through the portal. And they come out into the snow. When they come out into the snow, you think, dun, 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 that there's two guys that are coming to get them, and it's the two guys that were chasing them. But no, it's not.
It's been two guys.
No. The two guys who come to get them are soldiers from the past when they were first trying to create the time travel for the ship.
Fucking time travel?
So they've time traveled, right? And then you don't know what's happened to them. You're like, oh, my God, what's going to happen to them, right? What the fuck is going to go on? You realize that they didn't get fused, but their bodies came out really weird on the other end, and they are the creatures that chased themselves in the future.
So,
yes.
Hey, come back! Hey!
That's really, but it was more like, ah!
I'm in so much pain!
So now I've seen that crappy movie... twice.
That's even better. You know what? No. I take it back. That's actually pretty funny. It's just, they're just like, oh, God, those terrible monsters. They're just like, oh, God, we're so ugly. God, what happened to us?
It's like snow blindness. Snow blindness.
But now I've seen that movie twice. Christ, that horrible movie I've seen twice.
Can't get that back.
And then I chose a bad movie that I didn't think was a bad movie when I saw the trailer. And that trailer totally threw me off, too. Trailers, I saw you.
What
which
is
was,
it?
The Circle.
I could have told you.
Tom Hanks and Emma Watson.
Actually, no, you're right. Sorry. You were telling me about this, and I was like...
Tom Hanks and Emma Watson, and the book people said that it was really good.
That doesn't sound bad. I mean, you say Tom Hanks and Emma Watson. That sounds like, oh, it can't be that terrible.
And right. And the trailer seemed like it was going to play it a little bit more thrillerish, and it like a little bit more with a little more thrill to it, and it didn't give it to me. It was very bleh.
There was a lot of sizzle, no steak.
There was barely a sizzle. There was barely
not even
a steak. No, there was no steak.
There was a phantom steak and a little bit of sizzle.
It was just a pan.
Like somebody threw water on a pan and watched it go.
I won't even get into what The Circle is about. If you've read the book, I hear the book is great. I don't think that I don't even know. I haven't read the book, and I can see where the movie failed. I'm not saying that Emma Watson was a bad actress. She wasn't. The way that the movie played out and the story for me was I will appreciate their social commentary. I'll appreciate what they were trying to say with how we live our lives on Facebook and on social media and posting about every little thing that we do and how it could be beneficial, but at the same time, how far somebody can go with that kind of a power and that kind of a connection and that kind of a world. So I appreciate it. I can see why it works as a book,
mm-hmm.
because you can get into that kind of a world and with your own imagination kind of go with it. But I don't think that not every book is meant to be a movie, and I think that is one of those books that maybe wasn't meant to be a movie, and they tried to go too hard,
mm-hmm.
with that. And then we saw right before the power went out the first episode of American Horror Story.
Yes,
The Cult,
which I know quite a few people that are right wing Republicans, and this this episode, I'll just tell you this. I believe I speak for everybody that lives in the Shire. When I watched this show, the first episode, I started getting very anxious. And I started getting, like, my anxiety watching that was reliving something that happened last year.
Yeah.
In November. And it was just like, I was watching the show. I was watching myself watching the show.
You're getting a flashback.
Yeah, it was really, it was very eerie.
I am Sarah Paulson. Like, I am Sarah Paulson. In this show, at the for the first 15 minutes of that episode, maybe less than 15 minutes, first 10 episodes, I am Sarah Paulson. She's a lesbian who has a wife who was going to vote for Hillary, who is super afraid of her gay rights. She's watching Trump win. She has a mental breakdown when he wins.
Like a crazy mental breakdown.
She cried. She couldn't work. All of those things was me.
Hey, familiar.
Like, it was super. And so I was just like, I'm angry all over again. And, like, I can feel this all over again. And it's very interesting. It was perfectly anxiety inducing on different levels for different things. They're hitting on I don't know how we're getting to Cult yet. I see what social commentary they're going for with Cult. But with the first episode, they do a lot of setups and even the people that they're setting up are still very interesting. Like, there's a guy, I always forget, the guy who plays Quicksilver.
Which Quicksilver?
The Marvel Quicksilver
from is Marvel Quicksilver? No, you're thinking X-Men Quicksilver.
Remember, there's two Quicksilvers.
Yes, is he? He plays X-Men Quicksilver.
Okay, that dude. Yeah.
Okay, so
that guy.
Yeah,
comics are weird.
Yeah, X-Men Quicksilver. He's always phenomenal in this. And at first, he's cheering as Trump is winning. And you're like, oh, okay, he's going to be one of those that are, like, super crazy. I see where you're going. He's going to be super make America great again, and we're going to shoot that way. But he still does certain things that don't necessarily land in plain sight of that particular
that goal.
Right. That right is it's this. He has this weird balance with certain things that he does. Then his sister was supposed to vote for Hillary, like, it's like this really weird situation that's going on. They're playing really well, but they're playing with something that I'm dying for. Those of you who don't know, typophobia, which is the phobia of clustered circles.
Tryptophobia.
Tryptophobia.
Tryptophobia. Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, I know that.
Do you have tryptophobia?
Kind of. Yes.
Can you look at your shower head?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, so, well, you can't watch this because
I can look at the shower head. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about
this show.
Yeah.
This show.
She's got tryptophobia, and they play with that.
Oh, they do a lot of body horror stuff with it?
Not yet.
They're going to, though.
But they're going to. But right now, but even little things and honeycombs and, like, things like that.
Honeycombs make me uncomfortable.
So little things like that, they do a good job. So I'm really excited. They're playing with clowns. They're doing a lot of things. So I still have yet to see how they're formulating Cults. But then Sarah Paulson, she's so fucking amazing. She also plays somebody who has, like, anxieties for everything. She doesn't just have tryptophobia. She also has an extreme phobia of clowns. She also has an extreme phobia of I can't enough.
She's also claustrophobic.
Yeah,
I think it's funny they're bringing clowns. It's just like that was a couple seasons ago.
Well, they're all connected now.
Oh, they're all connected.
Yeah, Roanoke connected American Horror Story. I never
all
got to see that. Yeah.
Oh shit.
So as a matter of fact, the opening scene to Cult is the clown from Circus.
Was it Twisty?
Twisty.
Twisty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
was that same clown in that same park with a different couple that he's chasing.
Interesting. Okay.
It ends up becoming a comic book that a kid in the show is reading.
But apparently Roanoke is what connected all of them. I never actually got to see Roanoke.
I think Gaga was in that one also.
I think so. I can't really remember, but yeah.
Not a lot of people talk about Roanoke, and I think it's because not a lot of people liked it.
It was kind of like, yeah, I remember like hearing about it, and then it just like I heard nothing
about
it.
They made it sound like it became all of a sudden a reality TV show is what they made it sound like.
Almost like, what was that terrible Shyamalan movie that was like old-timey?
Old-timey?
The Village.
The Village. Oh, God, let's not even talk about that.
So that's what we saw before power went out.
Yes.
And now... We talked a little bit about what happened when we lost the power and things that went crazy. What was the first thing you did when you got power back? Because I have to say this. We, again, were lucky in the pocket that we were because the Shire, for whatever reason, we were only without power for like 24 hours.
No, like 36. Like we lost power around 6 in the morning on Sunday, ended up getting power like in 2 in the afternoon the following day.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Something like that.
So, give or take.
Yeah.
15 hours, something like that, which is relatively fast for what everybody else was going through, to the point that the Shire became, like, the hub. Like, hey, come by, get some AC, get some internet, drink some water, then go home, come back the next day, do the same thing. And we've still had some people who don't have power who have been coming here yesterday.
This is the island.
This is the island. It's like, come down. We're all going to share.
Yeah, it's all good.
And then we're all going to go ahead. But... what was the first thing, Bear, that you did the minute you got your power back?
I'm trying to remember if it was literally just stand in front of the AC. oh, I wasn't home when the power
came
on.
Here.
I was here. I was actually at the Shire.
But once you got there, what did you do?
I stood in front of the AC. I stood in front of the AC, and I looked for a cold beer in the fridge. Because when the power went out, I tried not to open the fridge as much as possible,
right.
And because of how I packed the fridge, the remaining beers are in the back. So I didn't want to do it. So I literally was like, get home, stand in front of the AC. Okay, get a beer. Ah, it's so cold.
Nice. I have to say, the minute the power came back on, so did our internet. Again, we were very, very lucky that both things popped off at the same time,
yeah.
Which allowed me to have my cell phone service again.
Yeah.
So all of my notifications came back on. And the funny thing, I was fine. I was reading. The sun was out. We had opened up the sliding glass door. And all of a sudden, we're all sitting there. And Kenny's by the door. And the AC kicks on. And I heard it. But I was on the last 4 pages of my book. Like, this is... It doesn't matter whether there's power or not. I have to finish this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Kenny's like, did you hear that? Do you know what that means? Kenny went crazy, turning on every
light. I started
turning
on every light. I go, oh, the lights are working now.
Yeah. I got a text from my roommate that just said, power!
It was crazy. I have to say, it's always funny what you realize how important certain things are.
Yeah, power.
And power. We know that power is important, and we know that the internet is important, but it's for the smallest of things. Like, most people are like, I don't even care that I don't have internet. I need AC. Like,
I can live without internet. I need AC.
Yeah. Even people are like, I'll take all the cold showers in the world. I just need AC. Like, it's literally down to that.
That's a necessity in Florida.
It is.
We can't live without it.
Sadly, it is. Now, I will say this. I had a question for you guys. What is... Okay, because I have anxiety. You guys listening.
Mm-hmm.
I have horrible anxiety. And one of the anxiety things that I had when prepping for the storm was... What am I going to do if I have to leave in a hurry? Like, what am I going to have to do? And so I had even messaged you, Bear, and mm-hmm. I was just like, my anxiety is telling me I need to pack a get the fuck out of here in a hurry
a bug
bag.
Out bag.
Yeah. A go bag. I need to have a go bag. And until my brain was like, it wouldn't shut up until I started packing the fucking go bag. And then once you start packing the go bag, you're like, what do I take? Besides the essentials, because of course I had a utility knife, a first aid kit, a rope, because I was going to tie myself to my wife so that we wouldn't leave each other no matter where we went, the dog leash, I packed snacks of food, and then it became like the essentials. So if you had to pack a go bag where you thought you were going to come back and none of your stuff was going to be back, what are 3 things that for sure are going to go in your go bag?
Gee, are we talking practical or are we talking ridiculous?
Yeah, because I can go ridiculous.
No, if I think practical is too simple.
I mean, I'm thinking like, if you're doing practical, it's like water purification tablets.
No, obviously.
You need to survive for 48 to 72 hours.
Yeah,
that's your bug out bag.
Yeah. We had 2 bags because I packed the bug out bag of survival gear.
Yeah.
I had a thing of cat food, a thing of dog food, power protein bars. Like, I had, like, the Advil, the this.
Yo, the cat will take care of itself. Like, you.
Well, I wanted to get, I have to grab the cat, and maybe he can't get clean food. Like, I have to think about that, or else I'm going to have a sick cat. I was taking care of everybody in my family, and that includes a cat and a dog. So I had even pebbles okay. in my car, in my
ridiculous.
Bag. Why?
No, you're not ridiculous. That just makes me laugh.
Yeah. And then I even had, like, flasks filled with water. I was just like, I can do this. So,
God, okay. So if you want ridiculous, like, I would bring a 3DS. I'd bring... If we're talking ridiculous here, because I promise you, I do know how to make a bug out bag.
Yeah,
but if we're talking ridiculous, I probably would take... I'm trying to decide if I want to take the DS or the Kindle. I probably would take the Kindle because that has longer... I have so many books on my Kindle, that'll last me for fucking ever.
Right.
So it'd be Kindle, I have a battery pack with a solar charger on it. So that would cover both. See, that's both practical and ridiculous.
Yes, it is.
And what's the third? what the fuck else would I take? It's a fucking dead silence. Fuck it, I'll take the DS. So I'm taking my DS, my Kindle, and that along with the fucking rest of the bug out bag.
All right, I left room in my bag because I knew that these things I would be using while I was happening. So my three things were my tablet. Because on there I have all of my Marvel comics because of the digital codes.
Right.
So if I was going to lose comics, that's fine. But I will take the digitals.
Yeah.
It was my my Kindle and my laptop because I had everything like stacked up. I was like, I will leave this all right.
Yeah, see,
here.
The laptop I would like to bring, but that unfortunately is dead weight. It, like if it's a bug out situation, yeah, the laptop has to go, but the Kindle and the 3DS are light enough where, and the both don't take up enough room where it's like, you know.
Those are my three because I had already packed my journal in my bug out bag.
Oh, but again, small. You that'll
see,
fit yeah. everywhere.
You see, like, if we're gonna go ridiculous, like, my go bag with Tiff was all the essentials that we needed, including water bottles, including these Clif bars that for some reason I have a very big fascination for. And other things, but if we're gonna go ridiculous, I would get a big enough bag to put my cajon. Right?
Not like okay, no, that's fine. Right? I'm with you. I'm with right? you.
My bag, for my birthday, I ended up getting a symbol bag that becomes a backpack similar to a Ninja Turtle. So I would actually just wear that on my back, right? So I have the cajon, I have the symbols. I will go and get. What else would I get that I have here? Oh my god! Like that? Maybe I would even throw in there.
You wouldn't grab your magic cards.
Damn, bro.
I take it back. I won't.
Yes, the magic. Yeah, you take my magic cards. Folders.
I'm going to take back the 3DS as much as I love the 3DS. I'm going to take a dildo with me. Because think about it. If you're in a bug out situation, someone tries to fuck with you and you whip the dildo out, started shrieking and waving a dildo around, they would fucking leave you alone.
They
because holy shit, that's weird.
Actually, the only thing weirder than that would be if you just start getting buck naked just right after that person. They would stop.
With the dildo!
They would stop completely.
You got your dick in your hand and the dildo in the other.
But you're right. You're right, Q. I would take only my rares. Only my rares.
Oh, shit, you need bargaining material.
Yeah, only my rares, because who knows? Maybe in this dystopian future that we have, when it's like Book of Eli, if I have to give up a few of my magic rares just so that I can get some water, and we're going to have to do what we got to do.
I did contemplate
I'll trade you this Cro-Mat for a bottle of water.
I did contemplate in my ridiculousness grabbing a few of my Harry Potter Funkos. Just a few of them. Like the
but which ones would no but which ones would they be
specifically the SDCC special, which is him riding on the broomstick
as a good
the
one.
Quidditch one, because that one's really hard to fucking find. And then I would probably get I would probably also take with me my god, it's so hard because I also wanted to take my Iron Man except that I knew that at work I had other Iron Men, and so I was a safe.
So if you do make it back to work and you're a bug out situation, you have one Iron Man.
Then I'd have an Iron Man there, and I'd have the cool one where he's Tony Stark holding the Iron Man mask, so that felt okay. But I would probably take, I don't have the Marauder's Map Harry, or that would have gone with me for sure. If not, I would take a Sorting Hat Harry with me. Yeah. But I sat there in front of the pops, and I was like, should I take two of you in the bag just in case? Because I'm going to need something with comfort that's going to make me feel nice. And know that I didn't lose the entire collection.
What that means is that I would actually, now that I think about it, I'm looking at all the Funkos that we have here. I would at least get one Flash. Maybe the reverse Black Flash, or reverse Flash Black Lantern Edition. I'd probably go for that zombie reverse Flash.
Yeah,
and then take Wonder Woman for Tiff, just that Wonder Woman. And yeah, I mean,
I can't believe we're ridiculously going into Funkos, but if I guess if I had to take a Funko, I'd just take La Muerte from Book of Life.
Oh, I mean, that's, you know, yeah, that's you can look at it and go, even with all this, even with all this mayhem and chaos,
I can make room with his dildo. I just kind of use the dildo to make room in the bag.
What was the most ridiculous thing you ate with no power?
I actually didn't stay ridiculous because I already had it planned out, like, okay, I can make sandwiches for 4 days. So I just ate the same sandwich for 4 days, which I can do in an emergency situation.
See, the problem was that me and Kenny finished the bread before we ran out of power.
Yeah, because we're smart.
And so instead I
You guys are fucking disasters.
yeah. Because there was, listen, bread was a hot commodity around here. We were only able to get one loaf.
Dude,
one
it's like a gold brick. Like a gold brick.
Did you get angel bread?
No, there was no prayer bread.
No prayer bread.
There was no prayer bread.
No prayer bread.
And then, so I had to come up with a tea light oven grill situation for both coffee.
God, so, I love you guys so much for that. That was so genius.
We have to post, if we haven't posted these pictures on IG, we have to post this.
I'll post the picture, but we decided, I got a brownie pan and put like 16 tea light candles and then got the grill out of the oven.
16 is the key number, guys.
Yeah, that is the key number. And then got the grill from inside the oven because it was raining and we couldn't grill. So this is why we were doing this. Everybody's like, why didn't you just barbecue? We couldn't. It was raining and there was wind and a whole bunch of shit. So we had to figure out how to eat inside the house and have coffee for people in this house that have to have a lot of coffee. So we got the 16 tea lights, the grill that was from inside the oven, put it on top, and got a teapot and steamed the water and boiled the water until we were all able to make instant coffee and not kill each other. And then I decided to also make hot dogs that way. So I got another 16 tea light candles, and I made 4 hot dogs.
Coincidentally, you are currently out of tea light candles.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Well, no, I kept switching them out.
No, we had to switch them out because when they would get clear, you know that means that the wax went all the way through. So you have to take them out,
and
wait
till
they settle, and then use some other can.
Yeah.
Like I did the whole fucking campfire thing where you get a can of soup, the literal can, and you put it on there. And I felt like, I go, this is ridiculous. This is what I was looking at. I go,
I think it would have been more ridiculous if it wasn't like a good soup. If we were eating like refried brains, then I would have been like, oh my God.
Wait, refried brains? Refried brains.
Mind you, these are 4 adults in a house looking at a fucking tea light fucking barbecue.
You know what? It worked. And
no,
everybody
I'm not
was,
criticizing.
No. It was just funny that this is what we were down to, but it had to happen because we ran out of bread. Like everything else that we had was not. It was snacks. I don't want to see another potato chip for like at least 2 weeks. I don't even want to.
You know what we had a lot of? That we went way overboard with. Now that I look at it, water. We just had.
What?
So
kind
much,
of the most important thing, though.
But it was like, but now that after
a
it's passed.
Of water.
Yeah, but now after it's passed, we look around and we go, this is a lot of water.
Yeah, we went really crazy because what we did was not go crazy buying bottled water like everybody who's, because our water was still good. So which is why everybody was like, there's no more water. I'm freaking out. I'm not going to be prepared. It's like, but you can buy like, I don't know, go to the dollar store where you can get like 2 Ritz bottles of soda for $1 and you come home. And you empty those bitches out and you rinse them and then you fill them up with water and then ta-da, water. And so we did that because everybody was buying supplies as of Monday for a storm that didn't hit until Monday.
Yeah.
Like it was just that crazy. I remember getting gas and then running out of gas because I still went to work for another 3 days. Like it was just like insane. People were running out of gas looking for gas after having already gotten gas 4 days before.
Yeah.
Like timing was off.
So. One last thing I'll bring up is I think it's interesting, and I know this will be the same thing for a lot of people, that what was one of the most important things in the storm for you guys? Coffee.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think about situations like this, like if the power goes, what are some of the things that are going to be valued? And coffee, I think, is one of those things that every adult at some point will value because, one, it's very comforting, right?
Yeah.
Two, God, it makes everybody less of a fucking asshole. Like, it's just one of those things where you drink the coffee, you're like, okay, now I can speak to you like a human instead of like a goddamn beast.
It's not only that, it's the fact that you go without power and you go without coffee for a day or more, all of a sudden you get those caffeine headaches.
I drink caffeine on the reg because if I don't, I think my heart will actually fucking stop. But I haven't had, I just moved on the first. I haven't had coffee at home since because the kitchen that we're living in is still incomplete and there's no tops on any of the locations.
Right.
So my mother had an extra Keurig. So I have this Keurig that I got. And I was like, cool, okay, let me figure this out. Oh, fuck, a hurricane. Shit, I have no power. I can't figure out this fucking Keurig. Now that I have power, I can do it. But now I'm working more hours because I was out from fucking the hurricane. So it's like, I can't fucking win.
Do you want me to make you a cup of coffee right now?
No, because I need to wake up tomorrow morning. But I really want a cup of coffee tomorrow morning.
Oh, my God. No, coffee was important. Although I had gotten a little... I need caffeine. If not, I get one of those headaches. But I can have caffeine and a lot. I can have a Red Bull. I can have a few other things that'll kind of subside it. Coke.
I need coffee eventually, though.
Eventually need coffee. But for the most part, I'm okay. But I did have a few Red Bulls. So once I was able to make that fucking thing of coffee, everybody was happier just immediately. So I did want to ask, what do you find that you underappreciated it, or what is the most important? And coffee is definitely
coffee. And I don't think I underappreciate showers because the water never went for me. So I right. always had, even like, and I'm lucky in the house that I'm living in now, the water heater is gas powered.
Yeah.
And we have a gas stove. So I was always able to cook, and I couldn't have super hot showers, but I could have like lukewarm showers. So I didn't lose appreciation of that, but yo, not having coffee definitely makes a fucking difference.
For me, it was coffee, and then eventually I was okay for a little while until it was, I want a real meal.
Yeah.
I want a real meal, because for the first few days we were eating out because we didn't want to eat any of the food that we had for the hurricane. So we were eating out a lot, junk food, because by the time we were realizing after prepping all of that, that was all that was around. So it wasn't until yesterday that Vanessa and I found a local little Hispanic restaurant where I was able to have rice and vaca frita, which was really important.
Yo, I saw that picture.
Yo, that looked delicious. It was so important to have that. Mind you, it was also important. You say something about coffee, and it's funny. The day right after the storm, that everything was out. The first something I want to say, a little nod, and it was something that I saw on Facebook, and it was true. Most of the first few places that opened in South Florida, when it comes to food and drinks and things that you needed, are all run by immigrants. It was your Hispanic restaurants, your immigrant-owned gas stations. It was just...
Hey, they know how important it is for community to have at least like a little cafe or place. Like,
not only that, apparently from what we also find out, Chinese places never go out.
Yeah, the Chinese place by the studio never closed. Like, he never closed. It said on his plywood, open during hurricane. Like, those people are crazy. But so we go to this another place that was there, and we see that there's a line out the door. We're like, oh, my God, they have food. So let's get off and see what it is. And they were literally using whatever they were only able to use, like, a certain machine. They had croquetas and all of that. But there's this huge line. Somebody says, we've ran out of coffee. Half the line went, bitch.
Yep.
Peace.
Yeah, man.
I'm out. I was like, oh, thank God I made that cup. Yeah. I'm so happy about that. I was about to make Cuban coffee on that tea light grill.
Yeah, we don't have a cafetera at my new place, which is why we do not make Cuban coffee.
I need to get a cafetera. You need to get a cafetera is really what you want to do. Now, after the aftermath, once we got our power back, I do want to mention another movie that I keep talking to people about, and they actually haven't heard about it, is Nocturnal Animals. Watch it. 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 It's a really good movie. I'm not even going to spoil it for you, but I will tell you that Jake Gyllenhaal's in it, and Amy Adams is in it. I don't like Amy Adams in a lot of stuff, but I liked her in this. It was really good, and it's a story within a story. You were both following Amy Adams, her story arc, and in that story arc, she's reading a book, and then you're following that story arc that's also filmed. So it's actually done really well. And the ending, not a lot of movies end that way anymore. And I'm glad, and Vanessa was extremely happy that movie ended. She knows that I like things a little bit more done, if you will. But I appreciated what they did. I was like, yes, I would have loved answers to X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Would have loved it.
But don't need it.
But I see what they did, and I tip my hat off at them for doing it and leaving me wanting more. That's how well that movie was. So,
have you ever seen The Fountain by any chance?
Oh, Darren The Fountain's good. Fountain.
No.
He does that with playing with multiple stories, where there is like one one like main storyline, but then at the same time there are two other storylines of the same actors going. Like, there's a guy researching brain cancer because his wife is dying of brain cancer. At the same time, it's Hugh Jackman, by the way.
Okay.
At the same time, in the deep past, Hugh Jackman as a conquistador is looking for the Fountain of Youth. At the same time, far, far, far in the future, when the Earth is destroyed, Hugh Jackman is basically hovering in a Zen bubble in space, looking for life in the universe. And they make it pretty clear early on that the future and the past storyline are allegorical to what's going on in the main storyline. But it's one of those, again, Aronofsky's a fucking genius,
right?
Where he just plays with how stories are told like that. So when you told me of like how that story gets weaved back and forth, I'm like, ooh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, no, and it really was a good movie. And I do want to say one other thing that happened to me and Kenny and everybody at the Shire after the aftermath. I felt like I was in The Walking Dead.
Oh, this is by far one of my most surreal. It was a really surreal moment, I think, that Q and I went through. And I know what she's going to talk about.
Yeah, like it's the next day. Like I told you, we ran out of bread and stuff like that. And so we find out that Publix is open. And so we get in the car and we're like, all right, first we get to get the fuck out of this house. And two, we get to go get some stuff because we had ran out of creamer. Coffee's important. We made that very clear. And so we get in the car and we go to Publix and we realize that they still don't have that much power. They're running on the few generators that they have. And all that they can really do is power the coolers that are keeping the food cold and two or three registers and like emergency lights. It's really all that you've got working, which is barely anything. And they're only letting in a certain number of people at a time. So now you're waiting in line to go into the grocery store. So, of course, we're all four going in. There's like divide and conquer. If we go in there and split up, we can get everything that we need and then meet up again. And this is like straight up Walking Dead thinking. Like, okay, we're going to walk in there. You guys, you two are going to go to the meats. Me and Kenny, we're going to go get beer. We're going to go get, like, this is the stuff.
Very important. We need beer.
You know, like, I'm going to go down that last aisle. You guys are going to go down this aisle and we'll meet in the middle. And then once we made it inside, it was pitch black. So you're straight up trying to, I had brought a flashlight and my phone. So I was like, I'm set. I knew this was, I don't know. First of all, I was wearing cargo shorts the entire time with everything in my pockets because, again, need to be prepared. I'm not even going to lie. I had hurricane outfit that I had prepped 2 days before to make sure I was going to be comfortable and ready to go.
It was almost like she could have looked like Nathan Drake if she had that grappling hook.
I was ready to go. I was ready to go.
So, get the meat! What?
Yeah. But then there's nothing down the fucking aisle. So it was like I felt like we were scavenging in a post-apocalyptic world, and all we're looking for is beer and bread. And
let me guess, cash only?
Cash only. Yeah, everything was cash only. You're running into people because not everybody brought their phones or didn't think to do that.
Oh, what, like, a bad one.
You know, so there are people's bumping into each other. The funny moment, though. If you are a vegetarian, you will always have food because that is the one section that is always available in any post-apocalyptic situation.
Yeah, it's one of the only places where they put trash on the fucking shelves.
Go ahead. No,
I was going to say that if you're worried during the apocalypse if there will be the tofu crumble that you normally eat, you vegan fucks, don't worry.
You'll got it.
You'll be fine.
You're good.
And I realized there wasn't a single bread, nothing, not even gluten-free bread, but you want to know what loaves there were? Cinnamon raisin bread.
People too fucking good for cinnamon raisin bread. That shit's good. Fuck you.
Not only that.
It's like nobody wants that shitty bread.
Not only that, when we went to look for beer, the only beer that was left was the flavored quote unquote hard soda.
Yeah.
And so we're like, oh, this is going to suck. So we're walking. Luckily for me, being as tall as I am, I'm there walking and I'm looking over at the aisles and I see behind a bunch of different food that no one wants because everybody left it there. There is a blue rectangle-shaped box. So I look further in, and it's Bud Light. I go, I will take this.
You know there's one person working there was like, aw.
Yeah. No, we knew it when he got it. We were like, we took somebody's hidden stash, and I don't care.
Oh, yeah, no.
In fact, when we took it, people were like, did you just like find that when you walked in? I go, no, somebody hid it. And
yeah, no, they didn't hide it well enough.
Not good enough, sir. Not good enough. Yeah. So that was probably the most
the highest perception role you've ever had in real life.
Right? That was probably the most oddest thing that I've felt in this entire storm was going through a grocery store in pitch black and literally scavenging for whatever was left. And some people are like, we went in there and we left with like a bag in each one of our hands, like just the essentials of what it is. Like, we didn't go and do full on groceries. We're like, okay, we need creamer, milk. You know, these are the things that we need to be able to eat the rest of the stuff that we have in the house. But there is people doing like a trunk full of groceries, like taking everything. I was like, what are you even going to do with all of this? Like, there was like ridiculous things. Like, you can see that you're buying ridiculous items and you're just going crazy. I have to say, fear is a huge thing.
Yeah.
And it toyed with a lot of people, because now you have people who have tons of fucking water and don't know what the hell to do with it. Which, by the way, if you're listening to this and you live in Miami and you've got extra supplies, please don't return them. Don't return your food items or anything like that. Grocery stores are actually not allowed to donate any kind of food items that are returned. They actually have to automatically write them off and throw them away, which means that your items are not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. It's just going to go in the trash.
Please donate it.
So I know that everybody's strapped for cash. We spend a lot of money prepping, but there are other people who don't even have that in the first place to... they don't have money. They don't even have a home. So
yeah, the keys got super fucked. So yeah. Please give some, if you can, give something to help those people out, because
yeah,
they're going to
be fantastic.
In a bad way.
And just honestly, and if you are listening to this and you are in the Miami area, our studio, Artistic Vibes, is going to be collecting supplies, because we're going to be actually driving ourselves. Like, we will be physically going down to the Keys. My parents actually have a trailer down there, what it may be left of the trailer down there. And so we're going to be going down there to help them kind of go through it and figure it all out, and also be taking supplies down there and volunteering. So if you are in our area and you've got stuff, please let us know, because we're going to be collecting that stuff. You can either drop it off or maybe I'll figure out a way to pick it up. But we're definitely going to be taking a bunch of stuff down there. I've had that urgency. Like, I feel like I need to do something.
Yeah.
And for the most part, I've been doing things that I need to do around here. The studio still has no power. Things have been kind of crazy, but that urge to get down there has been bothering me for the most part, and I just can't get down to the Key where my parents live, which is really what's got my anxiety going. Although I will say, plus is that I can see their trailer in the aerial shots, because now they did aerial shots of the Keys.
Oh, that you could zoom in on?
Yeah, that zoom in on, but you can only zoom in on the top. So I can see that they wasn't washed away.
So the trailer is still there.
It's just you can only see, it looks like it either lost one of the walls of the trailer or something like that, because of the way that it's shifted off. So I don't know if that's fixable. Like, we won't know until we get down there.
Yeah, you got to get a
mind
you,
the worst of it, of where you thought you were going to go to an empty lot, that it was just going to be pieces in the ocean.
Right.
At least that's gone.
You're
but
like, oh, it's great. Oh, there's only three walls left.
Yeah, like, yeah. So I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket, but there's a level of, well, we'll be able to salvage things from the inside if it is a total loss.
Yeah.
Then, you know, at least you have that. Because my mom, of course, like, when that was probably another thing that was playing on my mind. Like, what do I take? My mom was like, all I did was take pictures. Like, she was like, I was so frantic, didn't know what to grab. All I could think of was, I'm grabbing the pictures.
Well, which the things you can't get back.
Well, we had two go bags. The other go bag was personal stuff. Was like a photo album of pictures we don't have on Facebook that I will never be able to access. Ziploc bags with all the stuff that we'll never be able, you know, things that you forget. We live in such a digital world. But we're in that generation that's half digital, half not, because there was a time when we were younger that.
If anything, this reminds us that that all of us probably need to get on top of scanning in important documents. I still feel real weird about putting documents, really important documents, in the cloud.
I can't, which is why I put it all in my external hard drive and I wrapped that shit up like a kilo of Coke. I did. It looked like a kilo of Coke. I was just like, I don't care. I'm going to put this in a Ziploc bag, in another Ziploc bag, because this is my work. This is my papers, my photos. This is like the last life that I've had. So things like that were important. But then we still have things like that we don't have copies of, pictures of our parents that don't have digital copies of and stuff like that. So pretty crazy. It's been crazy. There's still people without power. I think we're going to cut this episode here and put this in with the other one. The news stuff in the other one.
Sounds good.
Because this is an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah, we've had a good conversation here.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, we are hoping that we're going to be able to bring you more content. We're still kind of touch and go because some of us have weird schedules now without power and with the hurricane. I don't know when I'm going to be volunteering in the Keys, and that might change my schedule for a few days. We hope you enjoyed. We hope if you are listening to this and you're in South Florida that you've gotten your power. If you don't, contact us. We know a lot of people in a lot of other areas. We've been sending people to different places, knowing what's open and things like that. So please feel free to contact us. We're safe. All is well. Like I said, if you have things that you want to donate, please contact us as well. We can make that happen. And we are part of the Geek Bro Network and the Thought Press Network. On the Geek Bro Network, though, you can check out Mount Geekmore, Shiver, Zeros on Heroes, What's Good, and Cosplay Fame, and a few other ones. But I want to say a very happy one-year anniversary to Mamas and Merlot, which is an amazing podcast. They just celebrated a year.
Celebrate with another Merlot.
That's right. And as a matter of fact, if you go and check them out now, I was just on their most recent episode, which ended up as a two-part episode. So if you want to hear
double the queue,
interesting questions about my personal life and things that have nothing to do with geekdom and all to do with what I would do if I woke up with a penis one day, head on over to Mamas and Merlot and check out their last episodes.
If it doesn't involve spinning it around until you fly off into the sunset, I'll be disappointed in you.
I will tell you that you will always love me. So you can definitely check that out. You can also check me out on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook at Q the Mic.
You can find me on Twitter as K Skeets. That's Skeets with a Z at the end. You can also find me on Instagram as Cuban Polar Bear with the underscore in between each word.
Yeah.
And I love saying that every time I'm looking at these
to see two
faces.
People looking at you just shaking their head.
Yep. And where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Pedro Cortez Get. That's Cortez with an S. And you can find me on Instagram at Gurren Lagann.
And again, you can follow The Talking Geek and check out our blog and all of our information on our website, thetalkinggeekpod.com. We are also part of the Thought Press Network, along with Morbid Curiosity and VTunes, and coming soon, Anime Corner with
Woo!
New hosts. We've changed it up before we released it, which is why it's been sitting in our back pocket, because now it's going to be Will Cabrera and Panda.
Oh, okay.
So they're going to be doing...
oh, good. I can judge them from a distance.
Yes, you can.
Judgy.
Anime Corner will be coming soon. A new VTunes is going to be hitting soon, so we're doing a lot of stuff. Morbid will be coming out with its brand with its first new episode of Season 2 as well. And you can also check us out on Patreon. So other than that, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the whole nine. We love your face. Stay safe. And until next time, stay geeky, everybody.
Peace.